Good morning.
Morning.
Did you have a good conference yesterday? How many here attended our session yesterday? Great.
Perfect.
So you know why you're here today then. Yeah. We're going to talk a bit about protection in the service provider cloud and cover a wide range of scenarios and solutions that we would like to point out. So we have an agenda for today as well. We will focus on protecting on the service provider cloud, of course on the workload, and ensure business continuity in the service provider cloud, depending on what you are going to protect. And also we have some session objectives for you. So we're going to learn how to protect the moving parts of the cloud. As you saw on our session yesterday, there's a lot of moving parts, especially when you have MVGRE in this mix. You have clouds, you have multi-tenancy, and we just assume and expect that everyone dealing with this have some redundancy at each layer already. You're already doing, you have redundancy on your disk, you have clustering nodes, and so on. Agree? Okay. We're also going to focus on the customer workloads. We'll also check out something around the replication with Hoster and Enterprise to Microsoft Azure. Are you familiar with the thing called Azure Site Recovery? No one?
A few?
Okay, good. So we'll cover that as well. Hoster to Hoster, offsite. And so what we'll basically show you is how to protect these things. And we have about 60 minutes, I think. That doesn't mean that you will walk out of this room knowing everything. In order to address these challenges in your own environment or at your customer's environment, you really need to understand the workload and design for the recovery process. Because being able to back up and doing the replication, that's the easy part. But you need a proper recovery solution and design for your workloads. So this is something that Fleming will cover in depth from now on.
Thank you. As Christian mentioned, there's a few things that is assumption. So you have multiple domain controllers, you have multiple ADFS servers. There's no single point of failure in the Windows part of the infrastructure. So what we are going to cover now is what happens if the site blows up. So if the primary storage system goes down, and then there's a few solutions on how to get back. If you visit Nutanix and the booth, they have an inbox DR solution, and that basically renders most of this presentation, well, redundant. So I'll skip to that part. And what we're seeing today is that the service provider is trying to avoid, and the enterprise for that sake, is trying to avoid doing the hardware-based replication. Because if you need to have the VMs more in one place, you need to have a SAN that is going to replicate your VMs and workload from A to B. It's very efficient and it's also very expensive. So we will try to cover some of the ways to avoid having a SAN and 2 milliseconds latency to an offsite location and having everything replicated. So there's a hardware one that is mostly used today. And we can see this software-defined storage from StoreVirtual, from HP and DataCore and other vendors trying to do the same on the software layer instead. So we can replicate everything and we can do a zero loss failover between the sites. Again, we have a high cost on these solutions. And we have a Microsoft-based version today. We can do Hyper-V replica with up to 30 seconds of data loss. We can do DPM. The majority of the things on the good side is that it's basically free if you have System Center. You can't use the same solution for every workload. There's no automatic or pretty failure between sites. So if the primary site goes down, you need to start up things manually on the second site. And that is time consuming, but it's back to the cost of doing the business. So if you never can afford to lose data, you need a software hardware-based solution that will replicate the VMs with a synchronous mode. If the workload you're putting on the system can afford a few minutes of data loss, you are fine with Replica and backup for most things. This is a small part of the moving parts, as we talked about. The domain controllers is easy. Multiple domain controllers, multiple sites, having a offline backup of the domain controllers and having an agent-based backup. So always ensure that you have a backup with the DPM and always ensure that you have a backup with Windows backup. Because if you're using DPM as a primary method of doing the domain controller backup, and the domain goes down, you can't use DPM. So instead of having to rebuild the domain and rebuild DPM, you can reinstall the domain controller from an offline backup. So no matter what backup product you use, always use Windows backup to do a system state backup of the domain controllers to an offsite location. On the database part, the ones where we care about the most is, of course, the VMM database and the databases for Windows Azure Pack. We have seen installations where people never back up the VMM database. And if you lose that and you use network virtualization, you are basically in a lot of trouble. So ensure that you have agent-based backup. Ensure that you have a HA solution for VMM and SQL. This is usually done by doing active-passive clustering, because the enterprise licensing for SQL is, well, a turn-off for some people, where you have to do the always-on stuff. And the same goes for VMM. Always have multiple VMM servers. And when we do the SQL and VMM in Hyper-V, we usually see the design where people are using shared VHDX files for doing the shared storage. There is a little downside on that. That is that today with backup and replica, we can't protect the workload that is being used by shared VHDX. So if you have a VMM cluster or a SQL cluster, we can't do a VM-based backup. And we can't do replica if you're using shared VHDX. So as much as we usually don't like OSCSI, I would, what happened there? We are trying to do a cluster where we are having the VMM and SQL nodes running as normal VMs, so we can use replica. And then using the shared storage as an iSCSI device within the cluster. The workloads we'll try to cover now is the virtual machines, which is the normal workload we see. SQL databases provisioned from Windows Azure Pack, and IIS websites, and in-guest backup. The design we are trying to show and trying to promote is that all VMs are being replicated with Hyper-V. We can replicate it to an offsite location, or we can replicate it to Windows Azure. And Christian is going to cover the Azure integration in his demo. All VMs are being backed up with DPM. As of 2012 R2, it's supported to back up a replica. So normally we would recommend that we do a guest backup of the VM replica to avoid having the double I/O on the storage side. If the customer or the enterprise needs a granular restore, we need to have an agent inside the VM. We can do some VSS stuff and do a basic backup, but if you need to be able to recover everything at a specific point in time, we need a in-guest agent for transaction-based systems and system where we can't use replica. Oh wait, this one. So where are we? In this example, we have added a few VMs to monitor Hyper-V servers. And this is what we normally see. So the user just goes into the AsiaPac portal and provisions the VM. So we don't have any control of the VMs, and we don't know when they are created. So what we've done in the backend is that, find the right server. We have DPM installed, and DPM has pushed a backup agent to the Hyper-V server here. And we have a basic protection group configured in DPM with nothing in it. So we will, on a daily basis or hourly basis, depending on SLA, we'll run a script on the DPM server. Visually enumerate the Hyper-V server, and it should, in a few seconds, add the VMs to the protection group that is not already protected. So this will ensure that if anybody goes and creates VM behind our back, we can still, from a scripted basis, add them to the DPM server for protection without having to interact with anything manually. So this is normally something we have running on a PowerShell script every hour in most production environments. So if a VM gets created, it will be added to the protection without interaction. Let's see if it's working here. This will ensure that we have the data locally. And for most customers, they want more than one backup of the VMs. So we have one option today, which is either we can go to tape, or we can have a secondary DPM server, or we can use the new recovery walls in the public Windows Azure. So we go in and create a backup wall. Which takes a few minutes, so I'm going to use the other one. So this basically creates a vault on Windows Azure. And we can go on and download the Windows Azure backup agent. And then we can go to DPM. And our subscription. And we have uploaded a certificate that is being used to tie the two things together. And we need a temporary location for all the backup. So this generates a passphrase. If you lose this one, you can't recover your data. So if you generate a random one, always ensure that you do a copy and print it out somewhere. Because if this is gone and the DPM server needs to be recovered, you are unable to restore the data. So data is being encrypted when it leaves the DPM server and goes to Microsoft. So there's no way to get a hold of this data for anybody else. So now we have a backup vault for DPM, and we can go into our protection group we created before with the Hyper-V servers, and we can do a modify. and we can now use online protection. So this will still do the VM backup to local disk for performance reasons, and when it will do a backup to Windows Azure, which one was already done? Yeah. No. This one was already done. We can do a weekly or daily backup. The weekly one is new. This means that we can keep protection for 120 weeks in Windows Azure before we can have 120 days. So right now we can do a daily backup and you can keep it for, I don't know, 14 days. So this now applies the backup policy to the VM, and when it's done, it should start a backup job that in a minute or so. We can kick it off here. So this will now take the local disk backup of the virtual machine and copy it to the public Windows Azure, or Microsoft Azure. So this means if there's any audit requirements of having the data on multiple locations, we can do this without having DPM servers on secondary locations or having chain DPM servers. We can do an offline, out-of-band backup. So if the customer needs to have the data recovered, currently in Windows Azure Pack, we don't have any interaction with DPM. So it's a help desk call, and the admin for the infrastructure can go in and take the VM. And we can basically go in and find the recovery point. There's only one now because we just created it. We can take the VM and overwrite the existing VM. This will keep the VM ID, and the VM ID is being used for anything related to VMM and NVGRE. So if you take the other option, which is basically to copy the VM to a different host, you will typically run into problems with VMM IDs and NVGRE. So if you're using the recovery, and you just need to access the data, you can copy it to a folder or another host. But if you need to restore the VM as it was before, you need to go in and override the VM. So this should kick off a recovery job. So this powers off the VM, deletes it, and restores everything in hopefully a few minutes. If you need to go in, the normal situation is that the customer deleted something, and you need to go in and help them recover part of the VM. The admins can drill down through the VM and get specific files. Of course, for a hoster, this is time-consuming, and for enterprises, the same. But this is what we can do right now with DPM. Another option is to have in each tenant in Windows Azure Pack is to have a virtual DPM server, so the tenant administrators can go in and restore data. But that adds an additional cost layer and complexity. DPM is supported in virtual environments right now. We usually recommend that you deploy physical DPM servers that has no connection to the storage that the VMs is being based on. So typical pizza box servers with local disk drives, no SAN connection, no nothing. Keep it as simple as possible. This will ensure that if something big blows up, you're still able to access your data. We've seen customers where they keep the backup and the source data on the same storage system, which means that when the storage system goes down, there's nothing to recover from. And that goes a little bit back to the planning of the protection. The recovery vault we created here can be mapped to a different DPM server. So if a site goes down or is completely missing, we can install a new DPM server, we can attach a certificate, and we can restore the data from the backup vault. Is anybody using Azure for replica or backup today? No? Okay. So the VMs, we can ensure that with scripting, we can add newly created VMs to the backup. So this will ensure that even while we don't have control of the infrastructure because people are creating VMs through the Azure pack, we will still be able to add them to the protection without having to do any interaction. And I think Christian will show us the E2A part.
So how many here is using some sort of SAN replication today? Quite a few.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it expensive? Yeah. So what I would like to highlight now is the basic approach on how we actually deal with challenges in the IT industry from day one. We do abstraction. So
I probably did a picture in picture. Yep.
Reminds me of the movie Inception.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is our fabric, as you may recognize. So, in this fabric, we have also, we didn't have enough money for SAN replication, basically. So, we need to handle the disaster recovery solution with a different approach. So by using the Microsoft stack for this solution, we have added the Azure Site Recovery to our solution. So we're gonna start at the bottom now just to show you where we end up. So basically, if you recall the session yesterday, we also have a dedicated host group for our disaster recovery cluster. If we drill down to one of these nodes, you can see that we have a cluster. And in that cluster, we also have a broker. So Hyper-V Replica is out of the box, a free solution that you can enable on your standalone Hyper-V servers. So the option for enabling it is located here, directly in Hyper-V Manager. However, once you are clustering your Hyper-V host, you will not be able to do this locally on each node. So this is why we need to enable the Hyper-V Replica broker role, as you can see here in the cluster. So all the management now regarding the replication will be done on the broker side. So this basically creates a virtual computer object in Active Directory with an IP address. So this will basically receive and enable replication. So we can basically enable this cluster as a replica server and specify the certificate we would like to use. We can place the virtual replicas at the dedicated storage and so on. And the management experience basically stops here. So if you have, I would say, more than 20 virtual machines, you need to look at something different. So once we have the fabric in place, we can get back to VMM. So in this case, we have the binaries in place, but we have no automation or management of the solution. So the management experience is basically lifted up to Microsoft Azure. Are you familiar with the Azure Site Recovery? Some? Who's not familiar with the Site Recovery? Okay, the majority. So, as you can see, we are now in the public Microsoft Azure. We have something called recovery services, and this is where we have our backup vault, as Fleming was covering, and we also have Azure Site Recovery Vault. If we drill into this one, you can see that we have some instruction on how to get started. So the requirement of using this service right now is to have VMM in place. We will have to install the agent on VMM so that VMM basically performs the orchestration on premise through the provider we install. And if we also want to use Azure as our site recovery, we need agents on the Hyper-V host as well. So we prepare the VMM server. So I can show you that once you install the provider, you registered your management stamp with the Azure site recovery, you actually get some change to the UI. So here we have, it will probably be renamed very soon, but here you see that this stamp is registered with the System Center 365 vault. We also get some new options. So if we go to this host group, and I can show you that we have created a cloud in VMM. So a cloud is also a requirement for using site recovery. And on this cloud, you can see that we are, the protection is enabled, and we have enabled send configuration data about this cloud to the Azure manager. So initially, back in, well, before TechEd in North America, we had only the option of doing disaster recovery between sites. So this service in Azure would receive the metadata from the cloud in VMM, and you could do failover between clouds in VMM, or between clouds and different VMM stamps. So only enterprise to enterprise scenarios. So, but now in preview, we are able to select Microsoft Azure as a target. So if I go into the protected items, you can see that the enterprise to Azure cloud has this state of protected cloud. So this one is associated with the Azure. If we drill into the configuration here, you can see that the target is Microsoft Azure. If I would like to use a different site on my own, the target could either be the same VMM management stamp managing different locations, or a different VMM stamp. But in this case, we're targeting Azure. Here you can see the settings. The copy frequency is 5 minutes. And replication starts immediately. So this is all configured. Okay, so what do we get out of this? Once we do a new deployment of a virtual machine to this cloud, we can automatically enable the initial replication. So you can define in your template that once each and every time you do a deployment of a virtual machine, it will be replicated. So I'm just going to show you the option. So directly on the hardware settings of the virtual machine, we can now enable Hyper-V Recovery Manager. And of course, you need to target a protected cloud during the wizard. So So it will check for DR protection. For already existing virtual machines, we can go to the properties. And add it to the cloud. So this will effectively enable the initial replication once we associate the virtual machine with the protected cloud. Also, we can perform the same actions directly in the portal. So here I can go and add virtual machines that are currently not protected but visible in the protected cloud. And enable protection. So although we don't have any management capabilities of the solution directly in VMM, we at least have some insight. So here we have replication health and the status. And we can see that we have quite a few virtual machines that are replicating. The status is okay. So here you can see the interaction from VMM and the site recovery. Now, what's also brilliant with this solution is that you're not only copying your data, you also get some advanced scenarios that you would require for your disaster recovery solutions. So this can all be achieved through a few clicks. We have scenario for failover. So we can either do a planned failover, which means we have access to our environment and we are gracefully migrating or failover to the disaster recovery site. Or if we lose the connection with our environment, we could do an unplanned failover. So the difference here will be that the planned failover will have no data loss. The last thing it does before failover is to send the last log, and then it will be merged, and then it will start the virtual machines. The unplanned failover will be based on the last available recovery point. For the test failover, okay, so how many of you have disaster recovery solutions today and also have a solid solution for doing the testing? Two hands. So wouldn't it be great to have a complete test solution that you could run whenever you like without affecting the actual production environment? A couple of hands, okay? Great, Daniel. So just to show you how easy it is, we have this virtual machine, I can easily now here click test failover. I can connect it to a specific test network. In this case, it will be in Azure. So I can test the virtual machine and eventually the application dependencies as well, completely isolated from my environment. And this goes also for the on-premise solutions. It will take around 3 or 5 minutes in this case to spin up this replica virtual machine in Azure. So I have cheated a bit and I enabled the test already on this virtual machine. So still being in the Azure portal, I can now navigate to virtual machines. And here you can see that I have the Azure 01-test. So once I do the test failover, it spin up a test, which means a copy of the replica, so it can verify that everything is working.
And since this is Windows Asia, you only pay for the compute you're using while you do the testing. There's a license fee for using the E2A stuff, and there's a cost for the storage, but you don't pay for the compute unless you're using it. So spinning up 50 VMs for a DR test is, well, between cheap and free. Because perhaps you only have a VMs running for a few hours. So you don't need to have extra equipment standing around to have compute for this.
If we look at some more of the management experience here, we can define the resources as well, and we can do the mapping. So for the networks, we can define that every virtual machine connected to my management network in my VMM fabric that I do replicate to Azure will be connected to this network. So that I know that In case of a failover, they will be connected to the right network. It's nothing that I have to deal with. And last but not least, we have something called recovery plans. And this is more or less focusing on the actual service, the actual application. So to give you an overview, we can create a recovery plan that can contain one or multiple groups of virtual machines. So in these days when everything basically is a distributed application, you have some front end, you have some middle tier, you have some back end, everything tightened together to deliver the service. In case of a disaster recovery, I would love to see that I could do a failover on that service as a unit. And this is why we have the recovery plans. So I will call this for recovery plan one. The source will be my fabric and the target will be Azure. And based on the available replicated virtual machines, I can select them here. So in this case, I will create a recovery plan containing a single group. It shouldn't take long. So here it is. And as you can see now, if I had 20 virtual machines or 100 or whatever, I can easily do failover on all of them at the same time. So if you have multiple groups, group one, group two, group three, it will start with the first group. So that could be like your primary infrastructure services like Active Directory, DNS or whatever. And then the application, the dependencies and so on. Just to give you an example. And also for the test failover, I can now spin a test failover on the entire solution. So this will basically create three new test VMs in Azure for me, so I can test and verify.
Thank you. The next part, which is one we are seeing a little bit rejected sometimes, is that we need to be able to recover our VMM installation. So the main parts of the VMM is the SQL database. And of course, we have a library service and everything else. But what we'll focus on in this short demo is that we need to be able to push an agent to the DPM installation, or VMM, sorry. And we need to be able to recover it. So as it is today, we can add a new protection group and DPM. We can find our SQL server that we are using for backup. Microsoft created a resource provider in SP1. For VMM, so you can basically select the VMM server and it will protect the resources that is being used in the VMM installation. However, we've seen when you're using clustered VMM installation that sometimes using the resource provider, which is the Express Router here, you might end up taking down the cluster for VMM. So I would personally use the agent on the SQL and use that for backup instead for now. In this test environment, we're using the same SQL for everything. So when we go to the Azurepack portal and create a new database, it gets created here. So the most important thing when you create a protection group for VMM and backup is that you select the whole server. This ensures that even newly created databases will automatically get backed up. doing a backup once a day for VMM is not good enough. Every 15 minutes is normally okay. If you need to go below 15 minutes, you need to use SQL itself or a third-party backup tool. So using a daily backup of a VMM database is not recommended. I would use multiple backups an hour to ensure that if we need to roll back, we don't need to go back to the day before. And when we have the Asia integration enabled, we can also take the same databases and copy them to the Asia cloud. So this will create a local replica of the DPM database, VMM, sorry. And it will, after that, it will copy the same database to the Asia. Give it a minute. Shouldn't take too long. So if the VMM goes down for some reason, we can still go back with 15 minutes of interval and restore the database. If you're using SPF and WAP, you need to be able to restore all the same databases at about the same time. In the perfect world, we would have this replicated with the SQL always on to a different location. But for most hosters and most enterprises, there's a license cost for the SQL enterprise that people are trying to avoid. Is anybody using SQL always on for the VMM infrastructure with enterprise features? Nice. Okay, this will take few minutes, so in a few seconds we will be able to find our VMM database and we will be able to recover this. So if the VMM crashes or goes down or we lose the primary storage, we can still recover the database. There is third-party solutions. I know that Vision Solutions and DoubleShake has a method of having the same VM server running on two different locations at the same time, like VMware has in their hypervisor. But this is an additional software layer that usually adds some cost and complexity also. But you need to ensure that the VMM database is always up and running. So what we're seeing in production these days is that in the last installations, they're using two SQL servers for the VMM and using shared storage mapped with either direct fiber channel or iSCSI. And then they're replicating that LAN on the storage side to a different location. This will ensure that we can always get the VMM installation up and running very fast. If you're having a small installation, or is running it as a internal deployment where you can live with some downtime, there's a different option, and that is basically to go into the installation and use the VM replica as Christian showed before. Take a VM, enable replication. And enable replication with as fast as possible. So this will take our SQL installation and replicate it to a secondary location. This will not work if it's being used with shared VSDX, but at least for the small environments and the on-premise environments, we see that a lot of installations is using a single VMM and a single SQL Server. But for the hosters that have a business requirement of always being able to sell more VMs and keep the customers happy, we usually see that the VMM is clustered and SQL also. So this is basically the same integration that Christian showed before. This is just the local, non-Asia integrated version. If we use the Asia Recovery Manager, we can still do this and do a replication from site to site locally and not do the replication to the public Asia. So if you prefer to have the integration in one interface, it's possible to keep it in the Asia Recovery Portal. Takes a while. See if backup is done in the meantime. So the backup of our VMM database should be done by now. So we have a backup of a VMM database, so if for some reason, RDP. If we can try to provoke an error on the SQL installation. Take this one down. So now we basically killed our VMM integration and everything among it. And if we add a human error. So now we officially killed the whole DBM installation, or VMM, sorry. So we should now have a suspect database, recovery pending, and we should be able to go in here and recover database from 5 minutes ago, override the database that is currently non-existing, and leave it up and running. So this will hopefully in a few minutes restore the database as it was looking 5 minutes ago. If you're using NVGRE and using network isolation, you will need to verify that no VMs has been created between the time of the restore and no failures has been detected, because if a customer goes in and creates or moves or deletes a VM after the recovery, the tables where the NVGRE tables will be updated after what, 5 minutes on the host. So you will see a little bit downtime after the database has been restored, and VMM needs to be able to communicate with the Hyper-V host and agree that everything is up and running again. So we should have the VMM back up and running. And our VMM should be functional again. We didn't use the one we had for production because if something went wrong here, we would have an issue later on. And we should be able to connect in a few seconds. So the more features you use in VMM, the more important is to have a rapid backup and a rapid and tested way to restore the database. So daily backups is not an option with VMM anymore. And not doing a backup of the VMM database, which is seen quite often, is not an option. So always ensure that you have a tested backup plan of the database and you have the ability to find somewhere to restore it, because even if it breaks down, you need to have something to restore it to. The NVGRE recovery is a little bit more complex, and I hope we'll have time. In our demo environment here, we only have one NVGRE server. This means that, where is it here? We have a binding in our networking. So we have a VM host, which is Hyper-V Gateway 02, and is connecting to a VM on that host. So if we need to do disaster recovery, we need to have the host up and running, and we need to have the VM up and running. So we can't just replicate the VM and restore it to a random Hyper-V host. We need to ensure that the protection is covered both on the host level and on the VM level. So when we look at the protection group for NVGRE, we need to ensure that we have both the host components and the VM itself. And if we're doing clustering of the gateway host, we need to ensure that we have an agent inside of the gateway and we backed up a shared storage which contains the configuration files. So it's not enough just to do a VM backup, we need to ensure that we have the shared storage also. So we need the host components. Let's grab a system state. And we need the VM. And for time purposes, I will take the VM only. And locally. So this will back up the VM. So if we have a corruption, we can always restore the VM and we can get the data updated from the VMM database. But this is something that needs to be tested. So if you're using NVGRE in production, I would always recommend to have an additional host set so you can go through the recovery procedure, because it's a little bit more complex than just restoring a VM. So this will hopefully in a few minutes do a backup of the VM. And then we can use that for disaster recovery purposes. If you use the default template for NVGRE, it requires a SMB storage, and it requires a shared VHDX file. And as soon as we enable that, we are unable to do Hyper-V backup, and we are unable to do replica. So I would always recommend that you use, if possible, use iSCSI from within the VM, and then use a custom template to deploy it. And then you can still use backup and replica for the recovery part, and you just need an agent to protect the shared storage. So it's a little bit complex storage, and it's possible to do a fast DR, but if you do the out-of-the-box deployment of the NVDRE, it's not easy to recover if you lose the primary storage. And if you lose the gateway, you lose connectivity with the VMs. So what we can do, we can protect the fabric with the DPM. We can add new VMs being created in the Asia pack. We can add them to the replica. We can add them to the Asia side recovery. And we can add them to the DPM. If you have System Center, this is basically free out of the box. What we can't do, we can't back up the shared VSDX files. So a highly available SQL or VMM and NVDRE is not able to be protected with DPM and Hyper-V replica. So we can't do NVDRE recovery across hosts. So we can't just start up the gateway on a random server. It needs to be the right host name. It needs to be the right cluster name. So you need to ensure that you have backup of the host. There's no AsiaPak integration for the tenants, so there's no self-service experience right now. So if you need to do the restore, you need to go into the DPM console and restore the files for the end user. The main goals we covered is basically you always ensure that the database is up and running, always ensure that you have backup of all the VMs. Of course, if SLA is no HA, no failover, no recovery, you can just adjust the plans and the scripts so it doesn't add the VMs from the tenants. But always add the guest backup of the DPM and VMM so we have additional backup. And the most important part is always test it. So the more features you add, the more time you need to allocate to the recovery plan.
Questions?
So you added the traffic flow DPM. Is it possible to add multiple backup vaults?
No, not currently. One backup vault. But the backup vault is replicated per default. So if you go to the Asia portal, if you go to the backup vault you have here, it's defaultly replicated on the storage side to two different locations. Where is our storage pops? If I could find it.
Recovery services.
Yes, this is storage blob should be exposed directly. Okay. But per default, it's you select a region and it's being replicated to a local region. So if you select Northern Europe, it's being replicated to Western Europe. So it's the storage is on two offsite locations, but there's no way to, it's a one-to-one connectivity right now, so one DPM server, one vault. And I can't recall the pricing, but it's dropped about 75% for the last year, so Microsoft is keeping up on the lowering the cost all the time for the storage. Thank you for your time. And hopefully you will enjoy the rest of the conference also.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thanks.